Welcome to The Unraveler, a weekly commentary devoted to explaining the Torah, Haftarah, and other aspects of Jewish history, ideas, and thought. This podcast is made by the FJMC, the Federation of Jewish Men's Clubs. The material of these Unraveler podcasts provide a historical and somewhat different approach to help you, the listener, better understand Jewish life and thought. This week's Haftarah commentary is read by Michael Freilich of the Seaboard region of the FJMC, whose Judaic knowledge has been shared with men throughout North America. We hope you enjoy it and find it intellectually challenging. The opinions expressed in The Unraveler are those of the author and do not necessarily represent the opinions or policy of the FJMC.
This week's Parsha is Re'eh. It's the 47th Parsha in the normal reading of the annual Jewish cycle of Torah readings, and it is the fourth reading in the book of Deuteronomy. It consists of chapters 11, verse 26, through chapter 16, verse 17. Parsha opens with a choice between two mountains. Moses instructs the Israelites in the laws they were to observe, including the idea of a centralized place of worship. He also warns the people against other gods and prophets and false prophets. He sets forth the laws of kashrut and tithes, the sabbatical year, the Hebrew slave, firstborn animals, and the three pilgrimage festivals. What impresses me the most is that there are two mountains, and about them there's a tremendous explanation by Rambam, or Maimonides, who lived in roughly 1100 of the Common Era. And in the Mishneh Torah, he based his discussion of free will on verse 11, 26 through 28 in Deuteronomy. Quote, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. One mountain is the curse, one mountain is the blessing." Maimonides wrote that God grants free will to all people. Maimonides taught that people should not entertain the foolish thesis that at the time of their creation, God decrees whether they will be righteous or wicked, what some call predestination or determinism. But he teaches each person is fit to be righteous or wicked. Jeremiah implied this in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 38, where he writes, quote, "From the mouth of the Most High, neither evil nor good come forth," close quote. Accordingly, many of those who do not follow the rules themselves cause their own loss. It is thus proper for people to mourn for their sins and for the evil consequences they have brought upon their own souls. Jeremiah continues that since free choice is in our hands, and our own decisions prompt us to commit wrongs. Is it proper for us to repent and abandon our wickedness? The choice is in your hands. This is picked up by Echa, which is Lamentations chapter 3, where it's written, quote, "Let us search and examine our ways and return to God," close quote. Rambam, or Maimonides, taught this principle as a pillar on which rest the Torah, the commandments. As chapter 30 in Devarim or Deuteronomy says, quote, "Behold, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil." And our portion today in chapter 11, verse 26 provides, quote, "Behold, I have set before you today the blessing and the curse," close quote. The implication is the choice is in our hands. Rambam argued the idea that God decrees that an individual is righteous or wicked, such as they say in astrology and certain religions, is inconsistent with God's commandment through the prophets to, quote, do this or, quote, not to do this. Accordingly, this mistaken conception from the beginning of humanity's creation, their nature would draw them to a particular quality. They could not depart from it. Rambam saw such a view as inconsistent with the entire Torah, with the justice of retribution for the wicked or reward for the righteous, with the idea that the world's judge acts justly. Rambam taught that nothing happens in the world without God's permission and desire. So, for example, in Psalm 135, it provides, "Whatever God wishes, he has done in the heavens and in the earth," close quote. Rambam explains this to say that everything happens in accord with God's will, and nevertheless, we are responsible for our deeds. Explaining how this apparent contradiction is resolved, Rambam wrote that just as God desired that free will rises upward and water descends downward, So too, God desires that people have free choice and be responsible for their deeds without being pulled or forced. Rather, people, in their own initiative, with the knowledge that God has granted them, do anything that people are able to do. Thus, Rambam writes, people are judged according to their deeds. If they are good, they are treated with beneficence. If they do bad, they are treated very harshly. This is what is implied by the prophets. Rambam acknowledged that one might ask, since God knows everything that will occur before it comes to pass, does God not know whether a person will be righteous or wicked? If God knows a person will be righteous, it would appear impossible that person not to be righteous. But, Rambam continues, one would say that despite God's knowledge, the person would be righteous, it is possible for that person to be wicked, and God's knowledge would be incomplete. Rambam dealt with this dilemma and taught that just as it is beyond human potential to comprehend God's essential nature, quote, no man will perceive me and live, close quote. That's from Exodus. So, too, it is beyond human potential to comprehend God's knowledge. This week's Haftorah is from Isaiah chapter 54, verse 11, through chapter 55, verse 5. Some people have indicated there's more than two authors of the book of Isaiah. I urge you to listen to one of my prior commentaries. This week's Haftorah is a third of a series of seven Haftohot of consolation. The seven Haftohot commence on the Shabbos following Tisha B'Av and continue until Rosh Hashanah. God addresses the, quote, afflicted and storm-tossed, close quote, Jerusalem, open quote, who has not been comforted, close quote, assuring that she, Israel, and her people will be restored to full glory. The foundation walls and grounds of Jerusalem will be laid with precious stones. Her children will be disciples of the Lord, and they will enjoy abundant peace. Any weapon engineered against Israel will fail. I'd like to pick up for a moment with the beginning of the Torah portion. The word is re'eh. Re'eh is the imperative singular. It's not just addressed to the people as a whole. It's addressed to each individual. It's a singular form of the word, and it's the imperative word. Do this, do that. That's the idea of see. It's also the imperative, and it's for each of us to see. In explaining today's Haftorah, Rabbi Simon, the executive leader of the FJMC for many, many years, in 2010, and it was republished in 2016, Rabbi Simon wrote, last week Zion complained and wallowed in self-pity. This week is the third of seven special Haftorot. The unhappy and uncomforted are promised restoration and enduring loyalty. Physical and spiritual transformation will occur. The hungry will have food, the thirsty water. Our people will become safe and will not fear oppression. All that is necessary is that we, quote, incline our heads and listen, and we will be revived, close quote. How do we do this? The month of Av is ending. Av is followed by the month of Elul, and Elul by Tishrei. It's customary in many congregations to begin to think about thy holidays, repentance and change in Elul. It should begin in Av. Consider devoting just a moment prior to each of the Haftorot, the seven consecutive weeks, think about your behavior and how it needs to be improved. Have I been insensitive, arrogant, too aggressive, or not appropriately so? Have I been deceitful to others or myself? Just a moment, once a week. I think it could work. The following selection for this morning's Torah reading notes the connection to the first few chapters in the book of Joshua. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, quote, see, this day I set before you a blessing and a curse. Blessing that I enjoin upon you this day and curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn away from the path that I command upon you this day and follow other gods whom you have not experienced. When the Lord your God brings you into the land that you are about to enter and possess, you shall pronounce the blessing at Mount Rizim and the curse at Mount Abel, both are on the other side of the Jordan, beyond the west road that is the land of Canaanites who dwell in the Arava, near Gilgal, by the Teremites of Moreh. I left out several of the paragraphs that Rabbi Simon uses as proof text and returned to his comment. Rabbi Simon wrote, the borders of Israel are virtually the same as in the description of Moses, and just as the waters of the Red Sea part for Moses, so too do the waters of the Jordan separate for Joshua. The book of Joshua speaks of the conquest of the land. Historically, we tend to understand it as more a settlement. Archaeological finds do not substantiate military conquest of this magnitude. The Book of Joshua was most likely compiled and linked to the Book of Deuteronomy, the Hexateuch, a six-book set, and was published around the time of King Josiah, late 7th century BCE. This event is recorded in the material found in 2 Kings, chapters 22 to 23. Rabbi Simon writes, the difference between conquest and settlement could be indicative of the difference between the fulfillment of a national myth and the reality of the time. Now that's something which I can think about. Too often we tell stories when we should or could tell the truth. Just a note from me as your darshan. Remember, I'm not a rabbi. I'm not an academician. I'm not a scholar. I'm just a Yehudi Pashut, a simple Jew, Mehari Baltimore. I believe there's good evidence to believe the Torah was put together from folk tales, if you will, fireside stories, after the disbursement and return of the Jews in 540 BCE to Jerusalem, under Cyrus II's largesse. Various scrolls were available. They were ultimately consolidated into a single scroll. In the time of the Maccabees, they were instructed to teach Torah, so they decided to put together other stories, which were the books that we call the prophets, or the writings, or kings. If you will, what has become our Haftarot. These Haftarot were to teach similar principles. When I look at what was written in terms of doing good and evil in the desert times and in up to the writing of the Torah, I am tended to believe in, if you will, determinism. If you do this, good things will happen. If you do this, bad things will happen. Follow my rules. We have this in the Shema, in the paragraph that begins right after the Ahavta. If you do good, you'll have food and fish and things to eat. If not, you'll have famine. If you will, it's a reactive set of laws. You do good, you have that. It's determinism. Then, almost 400 years later, during the Hasmonean times, the Maccabees, they decide to change it up a little bit, and they look at the two mountains, one of good and one of evil, and that man has the choice to decide which to do. Anti-determinism. This follows, if you will, some of the Greek philosophy developments from the times of Aristotle and Plato to modern times of the then period, around the times of the rabbis, which would have been 4th and 5th century of the Common Era. Again, almost 700 years with development of intellectual thought. Then you have, anywhere from 500 to 600 years later, you have Maimonides and Rambam, again thinking of predestination and determinism. Terribly modern stuff. Absolutely fascinating in terms of cultural development. Also absolutely fascinating in terms of spiritual development. We are responsible for what we do. Heck of a notion. It goes back at least to 500 before the Common Era. How delightful we are to be part of that chain. I would thank you for listening, and as is my usual, shalom all y'all. Be well, each and every one of you. By the way, shalom all y'all is plural for shalom y'all. Thank you.
We hope that you've enjoyed this podcast. The FJMC mission is to involve Jewish men in Jewish life. You can find more information about the organization at the FJMC's website at www.fjmc.org. Music for this podcast is Climb by Shane Ivers and is available at www.silvermansound.com.